Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
From the creator of George of the Jungle and the star of George of the Jungle and the acclaimed director who saw George of the Jungle comes a new kind of hero.
Mean?
Doris Day.
Dom DeLuise.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Snoop Doggy Dog.
Dan Rather.
Dudley Do-Right.
Yeah! Brendan Fraser. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Is something burning?
Ah! Alfred Molina.
Indiana Jones, Avengers, Endgame, it follows. Joker, Wreck-It Ralph, Mamma Mia, here we go again. Titanic 2, Jack's back, 7 cents, Ghost Attack, Alien vs. Predator, except this on their friend. We'll keep watching the movies right up till our TVs break. So just crank up the volume till your speakers start to shake. You need a second take.
That's not fair. They've got rocks. All we've got are these machine guns. I'm Sebastian.
Torch it. Burn everything. No, wait. That's bad publicity. Have the photographers take pictures of the boys straightening up the place. Learn from history or repeat it. I'm Andy Schossler.
Welcome to our review of Dudley Do-Right. There's a reason we both quoted the same character.
All the quotes I had were from Snidely.
Do you have any other gems you want to share before we move on?
The other one I had was, what could be better than a plan working exactly as you planned it? Nothing.
He has this really admirable energy the entire film. Like, he's constantly outraged, very optimistic, and just cartoonish.
Surprisingly perceptive, too.
Yes. All right, just,
yeah. I love the other one where he's in the bar. Just, drinks on the house. No, wait. Drinks 50% off. No, wait. Double the price of everything.
He's such a dude. We'll get to our review, but I'm going to say I recommend Snidely Whiplash. That's my recommendation.
If there was a supercut of just Snidely scenes, yep, of just Alfred Molina's scenes.
He feels very much like my internal dialogue.
Right.
That I have in my actual life. Not as witty, I'll be fair. So he's more witty than I am. But I feel like I've become jaded and cynical with every passing day of my life, that I feel like as a kid, because I only watched this movie for the first time.
Seb, you're 30 now. That's what happens.
You become Snidely Whiplash. I never saw this as growing up.
I saw this for the first time for this review.
Oh, no. Okay. So I'm not to blame because I didn't know.
No. Instead of getting a good Brendan Fraser film like Airheads, which I am going on about because it's not part of your slate and it's one of his better films.
Honestly, because...
Instead, you chose Dudley Do-Right.
With, like, Alex and Jordan having uni and band stuff and other reasons, like, we've missed so many sessions this year. where our schedule's kind of fucked. Honestly, Andrew, we could just chuck in Airheads. It's not gonna take away. Why don't we do 6 Brendan Fraser films and then we're doing Looney Tunes Back in Action? Why don't you do 7?
Why 6? Why not?
It's like, but like honestly,
that's next week.
we are so far around like the schedule. We may as well just throw Airheads in if it really means that much to you.
It's a great
film. We can just watch it.
I can't believe you haven't seen it.
So next week we're doing Bedazzled because that's already planned. But the fortnight, the week after that, we'll do either Airheads or Monkey Bone. We'll do them together, like in the fortnight. I want to end with Monkey Bone because it's kind of what ended his career, for the most part. It's what took him out of mainstream culture. Like okay. That was, he still has a career, but it's what brought him from Brendan Fraser, blockbuster actor, to Brendan Fraser. He's on Scrubs, which was great.
Sure.
But it's the movie that did this to him. Actually, that timeline might not check out. Scrubs may have been around about the same time.
We'll investigate.
But I want to end with Monkey Bone purely because it feels apt to end with the film that ended his career.
Okay.
And then Looney Tunes Back in Action, the film that was beating the corpse of his career, trying to resuscitate it. And the doctor's yelling, "No, he's dead, Jim." Yeah, that one.
His career's not over. Actors have ups and downs all the time. It's a very vicious kind of industry.
Someone raised this last night, and I've not looked into it, and I'm curious if you're familiar with it. Brendan Fraser's career is said to have ended, and I'm going to talk about this very loosely because I wasn't so much paying attention as I'm not asking questions if you've heard of this. Apparently, he raised allegations about being sexually harassed or assaulted by a particular producer or director. And people say that him speaking out against this kind of got him blackballed from a lot of projects.
Probably, I wouldn't be surprised.
I have not done any research on that. I want to stress that I'm not saying that did happen or didn't happen. I have no idea. That's just what I heard.
I know he did. I know many years after the fact, when he was a much younger actor, that this happened. He came out about it. I think that was in the last 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
That he spoke about it.
And they were like, no, thank you. We don't want any of this.
Yeah.
Which
But Corey Feldman did the same thing. He sort of came out as an adult and just said, yeah, a lot of this shit happened when I was a kid.
Well, I didn't think it was as a kid. I mean, to be fair.
No, Brendan Fraser, I think, when it happened was you know, a young man. But it's still, it was unwelcome and it happened.
And I was honestly, sadly, the thing I was most shocked about was Brendan Fraser did this and given the time that it would have happened in, this is very much, you know, prior to the Me Too movement and all that, I was actually more shocked that nothing came of it, considering the complaint came from...
Of course not, he's a guy.
Well, that's actually the reason I thought that something may have come from it, as opposed to them blacklisting him.
No, nobody cares about guys getting hurt.
Well, I mean,
nobody cares.
In the 90s, early 90s as well?
No.
I'm saying in general.
You're a guy. Man up is the mantra that everybody will scream. Even feminists will dismiss... harm coming to men and just go, no, man up, you
my point
suck it up, you're a guy, deal with it.
No one would have gotten away with this back in the 90s. I was just surprised that Brendan Fraser being a white male, and you'd think given some stigmas around people outside of that category, I thought that he had the best chance of not having that happen. And I feel like if Brendan Fraser coming out about it, nothing happened, then no one would have had anything happen.
To everybody in Hollywood is completely depraved.
Well, it was in 1990 something at least. Now it's all sunshine and rainbows and second chances. It's fine. Everyone's happy again. So Dudley Do-Right. This is a Canadian project based on a Canadian cartoon by the same name. Is that right? This all checks out. That's what I gathered from the intro.
I don't think it's a particularly Canadian project.
No. Sorry, based off a Canadian property. Is that right?
Dudley Do-Right is, you know, a Canadian Mountie.
The Dudley Do-Right cartoon, originally, is that, it looks like it's from the same guys that did,
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Is it them?
I think it's, if not the same guys, certainly affiliated with them through producers and things like that.
Oh, it was a segment on the Rocky and Bullwinkle show.
Oh, there you go.
So it was like I guess it's effectively a spin-off. Why didn't we do the Rocky and Bullwinkle movie?
No. Please, no.
It's got Robert De Niro in it, doing a really legitimate accent.
Fine. If you enjoy sitting at this table alone... reviewing a movie that sucks.
I don't want to see it again.
Exactly. That's the reason why we shouldn't do it.
Ballsy of them for when they did do that movie to do a movie with a fully animated moose and squirrel. I mean, ballsy is one word for it.
One word for it.
What's the word for brave but foolish at the same time?
I think
the hubris of them.
Yeah. just any remake or reboot can go in that category. They're all misguided.
Arrogant. Arrogant's the word I wanted.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. It's like, hey, it's 1993 or not, whatever it was. You know, let's do a film with a 3D moose and squirrel.
But I suspect just from reading about some of the dissatisfaction that a lot of the actors involved had about the film, this was one of those projects that was done as part of a deal.
Mm.
Like Hugh Wilson also directed Blast from the Past, which came out the same year.
Yeah.
I suspect, you know, he was roped into doing this. I also suspect that a lot of the actors signed on to a script that was subsequently changed quite a lot, and maybe even the cast changed quite a lot from the original agreements.
I did read that Jim Carrey was at one point attached or interested in playing.
Yeah, Dudley. Jim Carrey wanted to because he is Canadian, but he dropped out to do Man on the Moon.
Oh, how will his career ever recover?
And Matt Frewer was also considered to play Dudley.
Matt Frewer? Who the hell's that?
Matt Frewer. He's, if you're familiar with Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, he played the neighbor. Oh, Max Headroom.
Oh, yep, cool. Yep, okay, another guy.
And he played Death in Supernatural? Pestilence. One of the Four Horsemen, Pestilence in Supernatural.
I'm just looking up his face.
Yeah, you'll know it. Very skinny face, very bony cheeks.
Oh, okay. I know I'm weirdly enough from Watchmen.
Yeah, he's funny. I like him. I think he's a good actor, damn good actor.
He's got a really unusual head. In a nice way, but I mean, like,
perfect
he's got
for Max Headroom.
Yeah, like he's a very unique looking. Oh, his jawline is very. I mean, some of his older stuff, and he might be in makeup, like in prosthetics there.
Yeah.
But he's got a very solid chin, but really skinny cheeks.
Yeah.
So his mouth goes, head goes in on his cheeks and out on his chin. He looks like a little goblin boy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So he was considered for it as well. At a time, Bernadette Peters was cast as Nell.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, she was dropped herself. And Sarah Jessica Parker came in. I don't think a lot of the crew were happy with that. Certainly not the director and the writers.
I mean, two bits of casting that I'm very happy with, for their detriment to being in this film, Alfred Molina. It was fun.
Not to his detriment.
I mean, he hammed it up.
The film was so unsuccessful that I don't think it mattered.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, nobody saw it.
It was the right
nobody
level of bomb.
Saw it. Yeah, it had a budget of $70 million.
70?
Yeah.
What do they spend that on? The one horse?
Very good question. I mean, it's the same question when you ask why are Adam Sandler films so expensive? Because there's just none of that is captured on the film. But it took 10 at the box office.
Holy hell.
10.
How do I remember this? It must have been advertised like all hell. I remember
Turtle
this.
Turtle Flop. I knew this film was around. I've never seen it until this review, but I knew it was around. Like it was part of Fraser's repertoire.
Well, I'm curious because you think Brendan Fraser, coming off George of the Jungle, which was a success from memory. I believe that one did really well financially. You'd think just his name alone in a very similar kind of comedy. And George of the Jungle, I still stand by from my last review. I think it was very funny. Like, I know you didn't love it as much as I did, but I thought, sure. I was surprised with how funny it was. And then I was shocked with how non-funny this was. But you'd think just the original, oh, it's Brendan Fraser. The ad literally says, hey, remember that funny movie? It's pretty much the same team that's back. Go watch this one.
I think that's, again, one of the pieces of evidence for this film being a sort of backroom deal of, you want to do the other projects, you have to do this one because we've got the rights and we want to make this film. You know, Rocky and Bullwinkle, you know, remakes were pretty pretty hip at the time, or at least live actioning old animated series.
I want to go just chronologically.
So I think it was, something that had a lot of studio influence and a lot of forced rewrites, and now you have to include this, which is why the film just feels so disjointed.
I just thought his name value alone would have drawn, in the least on the first weekend, more than that $10
million. Really? It was a Canadian Mountie on the Rocky and Bullwinkle show.
With the same narrator
Rocky and
stuff.
Bullwinkle was in the 60s. Did you watch Rocky and Bullwinkle show as a kid? I knew it was around.
Yeah.
But I didn't know anything. I certainly don't remember anything from other than Rocky and Bullwinkle.
But I want to go through his build up to this film because he did George of the Jungle. Great. That was a success.
Sure.
Then The Mummy was his next big film right after that. There was an in-between movie called Gods and Monsters, which I've not heard of. I'm about to look up just to see if I've missed, if I'm forgetting something. But either way, George of the Jungle, The Mummy, Dudley Do-Right, then Blast from the Past. Oh, so we did get the wrong order on those. They're the same year though. Blast from the Past, then Bedazzled, and then Monkey Bone. So you'd be like, George of the Jungle, good. The Mummy, good. Dudley Do-Right, huge failure. Blast from the Past, I don't think was a failure from memory.
It wasn't a financial success.
It wasn't, but it wasn't this bad of a bomb. It
probably didn't make its budget back.
I'll double check that.
I think it, no, I've got the info here. Like it, budget of 35 and took 40, Blast from the Past.
So if you expect double for a, okay.
It probably didn't make the studio money. This one definitely lost the studio money.
Absolutely.
Which may have also been the point.
And we'll talk about Bedazzled next week. I'm more curious if that did it. Maybe his name was starting to mean less, but where was the drop-off point? It would be this film, right? Like, because George of the Jungle did really well and The Mummy was gangbusters. Like, it went crazy. Like, he has a very marketable name and there was nothing in between The Mummy and Dudley Do-Right. Those, that back-to-back films.
Sure.
Both in 99, The Mummy came out first. Like, how do you go from, holy shit, how good is Brendan Fraser in this film that he's going to instantly get two more sequels from it to the next film, 10 million total brought in?
You can't predict these things.
Yeah.
But bad movies don't get people watching them.
The ad did look very
Nobody
silly.
Wants to make a bad movie, but it happens because, you know, people get involved when they shouldn't.
Yep.
Which is what I suspect happened on this one.
Gods and Monsters, by the way. A good rating on IMDb. That was the movie in between that I hadn't heard of. It says the last days of Frankenstein's director James Whale are explored. And James Whale is played by Ian McKellen and Brendan Fraser plays Clayton Boone. So it's kind of like a almost like a documentary, but acted out, I guess.
Never heard of it.
Well, neither have I, but it's a 7.3 out of 10. Like, yeah. People seem to like the film, whatever sure. The hell it is.
People like a lot of crap too.
Ian McKellen's in it though. He probably carries the film pretty Maybe. Well. But I'm just saying, like, that was his in-between film. I hadn't heard of it, but it was at least a critical success.
Sure.
Looks of it. Anyway, sorry, you've got
more. This film, Dudley Do-Right, 3.9 on IMDb, which I think is about right.
I would have lowered it.
Rotten Tomatoes is even lower, 16% critical, 24% audience.
24% of the audience is very dumb, unless 24% of the audience really liked Alfred Molina.
Oh, look, this film is, like, just to give away the verdict, I don't think there are any surprises here. It's a really forgettable film.
Yep.
There's nothing interesting about it that makes me want to rewatch it. Even Alfred Molina playing Snidely, who is the funniest part of the film, is I'm not interested in seeing it again.
His character, the way they modernized him from the whole mustache twirling top hat bullshit kind of thing into this film, is actually genuinely really funny for me. Like,
sure.
The way he's sort of like this capitalist evil villain. Like, but
I like that his plan is actually quite brilliant.
But that's where it ends. That is literally where the good in this film is. Eric Idle was pretty funny.
He had a weird character.
He sure did.
Because he starts off as, his character is the poorest man in Whiplash City, or whatever it was called before. Snidely renamed it after buying up the town.
Yep.
Which he doesn't even really buy it up. He just gets the bank manager to sign over the mortgages for everything. And then
Which
he says,
funny.
Okay, I own your mortgage now.
Get
goes
out.
Around to all the houses. I own the mortgage now. Pay up or get out. Which, okay, fine. For a kid's show, then that may work to be evil. But it's kind of, at least, you know, buy it up or do something with it.
Yeah.
But his entire plan is just to seed little bits of gold here and there. And not just once, just to keep that going. In order to get a flood of people going to a gold rush, and then sell them shit, sell them rooms, tools, food, build restaurants and hotels and all sorts of things, and that's how he's going to make his money. Charge obscene fees for doctors and brain surgeons and alcohol and things
you
like that.
You could debate
this, which is how you make money in a gold rush. You don't make money digging for the gold, you make money supplying all the miners.
Not the most evil plan. I mean, it's evil in the sense of he's manipulating people.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there is gold. They're finding actual gold.
Yeah.
It's not fool's gold. He's not tricking them. He's not misleading them in that way. There's actual gold. He's kind of like running a casino and he's rigged the slot machines to always pay out. People are finding the gold. it's just not worth as much as they're going to spend to get it. But to be fair, in a genuine gold rush, there's no way of knowing that either.
No.
He's just made sure that there's a constant flow of it. Him charging...
Well, there's enough to keep... You know, his plan is to keep enough interest to keep people coming up to fuel the rush and make sure his town is busy.
Yeah.
With lots of people.
Not the worst idea. Am I a bad guy? Because no. I don't see him as that evil. Like, he is an evil guy. I mean, look at him. He's the bad guy. But I just don't feel like this plan's that sinister.
Not that sinister, but it has a shelf life. Because if you were really going to do it, the gold's got to be coming from somewhere, right? And maybe he could be playing both sides and he could also be the guy buying the gold back from everybody. That's what I think would have to get it out. Yeah. So your losses would be, you know, quite small. But as more people came in, you would have to have more gold.
Well, he got the gold for free. Because he stole it. So his well, initial buy.
Not for free, but he did steal it. Yeah, that's right.
So even if he's buying it back, let's
but say. But I mean, if you wanted to keep it going, you would have to acquire more gold in order to keep more interest. Otherwise,
or to keep a good. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, people are just not going to be finding enough. Mm. And in order to do that, you'll then have to steal more gold or buy it on the open market,
so it's
which,
like
is
a Ponzi scheme.
Which is just going to drive the price up. And so eventually you're going to eat away at your own business. But as a you know, a few months of a gold rush, you know, do the thing, get people interested, take their money, and then bugger off.
If he's buying back all the gold, let's just say there's $1,000 of the gold, low numbers, but and he always buys it back for $1,000 and then replants it and buys it back for $1,000 and replants it and buys it back for $1,000. He stays perpetually at a loss of $1,000. That's excluding all of his outside industries that are actually kind of leeching off these people to get them. So if he has that constant flow of being able to buy back all the gold to replant it, that's sort of perpetual in itself. He'll stay at a constant loss there, but
maybe
that's not his money gain.
As long as he's making more money from selling rooms and food and things like that to fund that. But it's eventually it cannibalizes itself because people lose interest.
But gold, there's gold in them hills.
Sure. But if you're a miner who's been digging for a couple of months, you know, you've got to fund yourself doing it, and it's expensive, and you haven't found anything. How long before you're bankrupt?
Then you leave.
You can't support, and you leave. That's
and
exactly
the next
right.
Next one comes. There's an idiot born every day, Andrew.
Maybe.
It feels like a line that should have been in this movie.
Maybe, but gold rushes aren't perpetual. I mean, they eventually end because people lose interest.
Yeah. Good short term.
Because the gold dries up, or just
the
whole enthusiasm is gone for it. But not the worst plan.
Yeah, it's
as far as evil dastardly plans, it's not the worst.
It makes you think at least.
It's actually quite good.
So I know we're sort of dancing.
I thought originally his plan was to take over the mortgages, you know, create this fictitious gold rush with just one little seed, and then sell the property as people want to come in and move in.
Oh, that'd have been faster.
But he much faster and much more dastardly. But his plan was actually to stick around and run the city
Become
for a
the
while.
Mayor, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Like, honestly, his plan is probably the most thought-provoking thing in the entire film. And probably the funniest things.
Like, and I think Dudley doesn't do a thing to stop him.
No, Dudley's terrible. One joke that really made me laugh, though, the entire time, was the kind of ongoing vampire joke bit. Because it was so stupid. But, okay, him first thinking, telling him that there's vampires, Dudley slowly believing him, and that was fine, didn't laugh once. Then when the town rock up with all the torches and pitchforks, and he's like, "Oh, you're here to get the vampires?" Like,
vampires? What are you talking about? Like,
they're everywhere in the forest, and everyone gets scared by it. That part made me laugh. That was the only part that the I just want his name now. Whiplash joke that got me laugh the entire film.
That didn't make me laugh.
I'm sorry.
What did? What's the bloody the Indians, the theater restaurant Indians? Who are essentially running a casino-less casino, theater restaurant out in the wilderness, doing a whole dance and show number. It's straight out of Mel Brooks.
Right.
This sort of thing. It made me think of Mel Brooks straight away.
I had to double take on the lead Indian because I thought it was him.
Yeah, this guy with a Brooklyn accent just running this theater restaurant as the chief. It was brilliant.
Yep. In terms of the plot, though, honestly...
Snidely tries to do that, and then Dudley tries to stop him, but he's so inept and, you know, slapstickly falling over all the time that he doesn't actually achieve anything until he turns bad, which was one of the criticisms that a lot of the actors had, that, okay, you're not being true to the source material if Dudley doesn't obey the law. That's the whole, that's his name, Dudley Do Right.
Yep.
He doesn't break the law.
You do this bullshit in the sequel, not in the first one as well. You establish the character and have him be Dudley Do Right in this film. And if you're grace to the sequel, then play around with the formula a bit, have him turn bad. But like, this is meant to be his introduction to so many people, and they got the character wrong. I don't care about the character. Well, it's not a problem.
They're introducing this character, Dudley Do Right. He's a Mountie. He's a moral guy. He's a good guy. He's, the girl that he's after is just
the worst
trash to begin with, because she just jumps from guy to guy. Whoever's going to give her what she wants. Again, poorly written. I suspect it was, you know, either toned down or was sacrificed in order to include some other bullshit that some producer wanted in the film. But a really awful character, and she just jumps around. At one point, Snidely, Dudley, and Nell all grew up together.
Which I did that scene.
That's how it's introduced. Kids. Fine, that's a nice little joke. But it comes back later with Nell saying, oh, Snidely's not such a bad guy, when Dudley is, you know, at this point, he's spelled out Snidely's plan to Nell. She knows exactly what's going on. And at a golf game, she goes, oh, no, it'll be all right. By the way, I'm going to go off with Snidely now and essentially marry him.
Was she like that? Okay, having never watched the cartoons, I have to wonder, was her character sort of like that? Because they...
I don't think so.
Our only portrayal of her character from the cartoons in this movie specifically is the little intro bit where he ties her to the train tracks and he takes her. Yeah. Did your film start with a cartoon?
Yeah.
About
I liked it.
Right?
I really liked it.
Was that your game? It was about, was he a fox? A fox with a PH?
Yeah, the cunning fox who tries to convince the dumb guy to open the box, because the warning on this treasure chest is that whoever opens it will die.
Yep.
So the fox's brilliant plan is to get the dumb guy, convince him to open the box so that he takes on the curse and get all the treasure out. And the fox, being a greedy guy, it says, okay, there's all this treasure now. I'll split it with you, but I need a bag, right? Could you go off to the city and get a bag? I'll make sure to split everything 50-50. The fox is greedy, has everything in a bag ready to go. Well, this dumb guy, I forget his name, is off getting a bag from the milkmaid, who's the first person he comes across. He sees a penny in the chest, reaches in to grab it, trips and falls, knocks the lid closed.
Trapped forever.
Trapped forever, and when the guy comes back, he says, oh, here's the bag of treasure. Fox must have already split it up. For me, I'll take this. And the fox is screaming from inside, oh, let me out, whatever, I'm trapped in here. And the dumb guy goes, no, you fooled me with your ventriloquism before. I'm not going to fall for it again. Very funny joke. See you later. I'm off with my gold. Really good morality tale.
Yeah, really good. Don't know why the fuck
is more enjoyable than the film.
The second this started playing, I turned to my girlfriend and said, oh, you know why we're watching this? Because this film probably didn't run to theatrical length. The only reason.
75-minute film.
Without the cutting. Oh, I was like, literally, like the second I see something tagged into the front of a film, I'm like, you didn't hit 80 minutes, did you?
No.
That's exactly what it is.
No. It's 80 minutes with the cartoon.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
My experience was the Digimon movie chucked an original episode of Angela Anaconda onto the beginning of it, because it didn't hit theatrical length. I mean, someone's going to correct me on that, probably, but that's how I took it. You see these struggles happen.
If you can't write 80 minutes of material, don't make the film.
Even I've written like 100 pages of a script. Don't get me wrong. I would, in retrospect, have liked to have stopped at 90.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, because I'm undisciplined. But if an idiot can do that, surely a paid Hollywood writer can go to 90 minutes.
Unless the studio gets involved.
I'm sure the script was probably 100 pages long and they cut it down.
Yeah, or you have to include this joke or...
Which is debatably a good or a bad thing, because it means the film was short. I did a double feature
it's
of this.
It's not a good thing, because then you can't tell a proper story.
Oh, no, but I mean, like, at least if you're telling
like
a bad story,
a there's a lot of
one.
Filler in this. There's probably 5 minutes of just the Indian dancing in the casino, which are nice scenes, but they do nothing for the film. And just all the bike chases and things like that. A lot of screen time is devoted to showing stuff that doesn't matter.
$70 million, sorry. 70,
70 million.
That, so much of that must have gone just to Brendan. And it's barely, unless they signed it during Tarzan, during George of the Jungle, then it would have been low.
Maybe
that was a takeoff film.
Yeah, this may have been something he agreed to before The Mummy.
He may not have made bank for this one at all.
Or it was one of those, you know, you signed on for 3 movies and we'd like this to be one of them. And also we're going to pay you a pittance and you have absolutely no creative control over it whatsoever. Enjoy your career. Yeah. Bye. See you Monday for shooting.
Oh, I'm finding his net worth and I'm finding how much he gets paid per role. All right, so he earned $4 million for Dudley Do-Right.
Okay.
So that's not as high as you'd think for a $70 million film of this caliber.
Sure.
I would have thought he would have taken like 10, you know?
Well, he's the titular star, but he's in the movie, but he's not really in it. Like, Dudley is not an important character in
this
film.
He's the worst character in this film.
He does nothing. He achieves nothing until he turns evil and does the old
leather jacket.
Sandra D at the end of Grease, leather jacket, and tell me about it, stud. And completely changes who he is.
Yep.
Nell's back on board because now he's punching up guys and she's got some fetish for guys being dicks to her.
Yep. Oh, God.
It's awful.
My complaint for this film, don't worry, everything you're saying is right. It is bad. I don't mind slapstick comedy. I can have a bit of a chuckle if it's shot right, if the timing's right. It can be great. Some people talk about slapstick like it's this low form of comedy, okay? No. Comedy is all open for me, as long as I laugh. There was a huge, huge reliance on slapstick comedy for every Dudley scene. And it was never really funny at all. And it was all
never paid
really
off. And it always felt old the second it started.
Yeah.
Like the kid.
Yep. Falling at the desk or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah. Putting his feet up on the desk and falling over and just doing that repeatedly. It was so done already.
Lighting his hat on fire felt really Home Alone, but Home Alone did it way better and contextually funnier.
But that could have had a payoff if that tone was kept through the whole film, but it didn't. The tone of the film kept changing. Like, it starts off as this slapstick, sort of, I guess, a tribute to the cartoon, although the story doesn't really.
This must be more complex than the cartoons were. Surely his plan.
Animated things can be complex. A story, you know, a short story can be complex. It's when it isn't consistent that it loses the audience, loses me anyway. This one definitely was not consistent. And Eric Idle, the character, he starts off as the poorest man in Whiplash City. Snidely identifies him as the first person who should have some gold and, you know, gets impressed. All of a sudden he's on the Regis and thing.
I paid so little attention, I didn't realize that was the same character.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's exactly. It is the same character, but it's not the same character. All of a sudden, he's on the TV show promoting this thing, and then he's just this sort of dumb guy who lucked into some gold. And then, later on in the film, he's this, you know, wise Yoda guru who, you know, transforms Dudley into this, you know, person who realizes he can do bad things for good.
Did he lose all of his money? Is that what happened? Because he was told he gets to keep the gold, right?
Oh, he loses something, and then at the end of it, he goes, "Oh yeah, by the way, Dudley, your success as a morally conflicted and compromising person has given me the confidence to go back to my family. Oh, you have a family? Oh yeah, by the way, I have a family. See ya."
Okay, that's actually kind of funny the way you said it.
There was a lot of when he's being the guru. It felt a lot of. Like a lot of Monty Python things.
The throwing of the rocks,
especially
actually.
The line, I've got three things I need to tell you, and I'll start off with the second, if you don't mind.
Just some good stuff.
Okay, that's great. That's a nice little line.
I laughed when he threw the rock at his head. I'm going to throw a rock near your head. Yeah. It's not going to hit you. Trust me, don't flinch. Hit him straight in the head. Yeah.
Great work on not flinching.
Okay, this one for real. Yeah. Bam, in the middle of the head. See, sometimes slapstick can be funny, I guess, if you've got someone like Eric Idle to be the seller.
Possibly, but unfortunately it's not tied together with anything else or to anything else in the film. It seems like a series of sketches. That's what it feels like. A series of sketches pulled together with this loose thread of what's going on in this village. But even that doesn't work because you could do that, but then they're not distinct enough from each other for that to make sense. It's just a big mess.
I was honestly on board at the very beginning of this film. When it started off with the little kids, I was like, this is great. How fucking funny is that?
Yeah,
keep, the little kids okay, dressed like...
Okay, fine. Keep this tone and yeah. keep it going. Sure.
And the narrator from George of the Jungle, I was there. Yeah. I was happy. Yeah. And then the second we got to Brendan Fraser, who, by the way, I like Brendan Fraser. I didn't put him on here as a punishment to us. I think he was genuinely very funny in the 90s. Not a bad actor at all. And I thought he was hard done by some bad choices that he made in terms of his roles. I like him. But the second he appeared in this film, I was like, what an unlikable God, douchebag. And he's not being a bad character. He's just...
flat.
Yeah.
Dudley is completely flat.
But apparently, from what I read as well, he was really unhappy with a lot of the changes.
Yeah.
So maybe he just decided, fuck it, man, I'm just going to phone this one in because I'm so against what the studio is making me do for this character. This isn't the film I thought I was going to do. Maybe. I'm going to show up on set. That's
and,
what you get.
And, yeah, and who knows how much it was chopped and changed by the end of it because you can't even pick... which scenes may have had a genuine sort of desire to do a good job in them and which ones were being phoned in because the whole thing feels phoned in.
Well, he was one of the ones that was against the changes to make Dudley like a badass.
Yeah, of course.
So I was like watching particularly hard in the scenes where he was like in his leather jacket and stuff. And like when he's circling them on the bike and glaring at them, I was like, okay.
Oh, that was so stupid.
But that was like, that would be the scene.
And
yeah.
The cavalry shows up from nowhere. But you find out they were sent in by the Prime Minister. Oh, by the way, you know, despite being dismissed from the Mounties by his future father-in-law, by Nell's father, for some reason. Mm. Not even a reason is given. It's just, okay, you're out, Dudley. We don't like you anymore. The Prime Minister sends in the cavalry to get Snidely, but he was dismissed because they didn't believe what he was telling them in the first place. What the hell is going on?
This film needed the ending that Bedazzled had. Where, kind of spoilers for that film, he's been chasing the woman the entire time in Bedazzled, and at the very end he meets someone that's actually more of a match for him. He yeah. needs to meet somebody that wasn't Nell at the very end of the film, who's not her, and be like, you know what? Have fun, you two. Nell will go probably live in prison with Whiplash because she's so flimsy.
Even Nell is just kind of written in his... there's no character to her, because her backstory is that she left town to pursue some... degree at Harvard and then a doctorate from Yale or whatever. Mm. And then she spent the next 10 years developing something. But now she's back in Canada.
Whoop-dee-doo.
To see Dudley. Okay. Mm. Why? Did things not work out for you, Nell? Is there something you're not telling us? No. I'm just here to see Dudley. Oh, no. I'm interested in Snidely now because he's rich and he kissed me.
I hate this
film. I'm done.
I did find something really fun when researching this film, though. I'm going to see if I can play it on my computer. And if I can't, too bad, you'll miss out and I'll play it next week. There is a band that has a song called Brendan Fraser. They're called Clowncore.
Okay.
And the band is like, I guess they're meant to be like a heavy metal band, but everyone dresses like clowns. And I want to play you. There's no singing. It's just music. And I was listening to it and I was like, oh, this is fun. So I'll give you a small, no, please don't sue me level of preview for it. This is the best thing to come of this film. Okay. If this works. Isn't this fun? They've got a saxophone. You can't see the visuals of the YouTube video, but there's a bunch of clowns playing the drums. You don't like it?
Is this meant to be a commentary on Fraser's career?
I guess so. I mean, the band is just a clown band. Anyway, that's the best thing to come of this movie. Let's go to the verdicts, I guess.
You've heard the good, you've heard the bad, a lot of opinions, a couple facts, it's verdict time.
No.
Yeah. Miss it. You won't miss anything.
Snidely is funny, but Alfred Molina is better in other films. You were saying, was it Boris the Blade? Is that the one?
Boris the Butcher from The Man Who Knew Too Little. Alfred Molina plays the villain there too. Same sort of feel for it. It's just a much better movie because it tells one cohesive story. This one is just choppy and all over the place. The story changes halfway through. You've got no idea what Dudley is trying to do. At first, he's trying to stop Snidely, but he's just got no idea of how to do it. And everything he tries, he fails at because he's so inept. And he's not even on to Snidely in the first place. He's just outwitted by the slightest little, oh, there are vampires here. Oh, what? There are vampires here? Oh, I better get out and stop investigating this altogether. I'm really scared of vampires.
Why would you quote the best part of the movie in this? Sorry.
And then later in the film, no, he finds out, oh, no, Snidely's actually, you know, trying to run everybody out of town and do this evil thing. We've got to try and stop him. And he's stopped there because he's reminded that, okay, Snidely's not actually breaking the law. He probably is, but in the context of the film, he's not breaking any laws. So how are you going to get him? Oh, I know. I'll start breaking the law too. He's convinced into that by other people. But the fact that the film relies on, can't think of a way to get Dudley to maintain his moral code in order to defeat Snidely doing this clearly immoral thing, yet not illegal thing, by turning to doing something illegal is stupid. Completely so stupid.
This is a no from you?
Inconsistent. Absolutely no. Don't watch this film. Watch some clips on YouTube if you're interested. Alfred Molina's lines are the best lines in the film. They're the only good ones.
This is the kind of film that shows you that it does take a special kind of actor to make your moronic lead work. Leslie Nielsen from the Naked Gun series he should rightfully get a lot of credit for making Frank Drebin such a moron, so entertaining and likable. There is an absolute art to it. I like Brendan Fraser. Unfortunately, in this film, he doesn't make the dumb protagonist enjoyable.
Inspector Clouseau. Inspector Clouseau is an inept cop who still gets the guys because he does the grunt work. He manages to luck into things, but he's there doing it. Dudley just does nothing.
Yeah, and you could debate even Steve Martin was better than Brendan Fraser in this film, but not as good as the original either. But I think
Steve Martin's Clouseau doesn't have a pinch on Peter Sellers.
Oh, but
Clouseau.
No, I mean he's better than Brendan in this film.
Better, but they're still... The Pink Panther remakes with Steve Martin is on the Dudley Do-Right side of the fence bad remakes.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. But like I said, yeah, Leslie Nielsen should get more credit for being able to turn a character that's debatably dumber than Dudley Do-Right is in this film.
Frank Drebin wasn't dumb.
Oh.
No, there are a lot of great one-liners. Have you ever seen Police Squad?
I never really got the show. I've seen the movies, obviously.
You should. There's only one season of it. And it's...
Which is also a crime.
Packed. It is absolutely packed with one-liners and sight gags and things. You cannot watch a single episode, right, and see all the gags because when you're laughing, you're missing other gags that are going on. Quick little one-liners. It's so witty. He's not dumb. Frank Drebin is not dumb. And just some things he says kind of sounds dumb, but then you think about it and, oh, actually, I can see how that makes sense. And yeah, that's actually quite good. And it's funny. It's so funny. This one isn't. One just isn't funny.
Before your time in the show, we double featured Wrongfully Accused.
And, terrific.
And, the original. I've just forgotten it. The
Fugitive. The Fugitive, yeah.
And I was like warning. This was with Alex and Zane. And I was like, I knew what would happen. And yeah. It was right. We come out of the double feature and Alex is like, I think the Wrongfully Accused was better.
Yeah.
Like, probably. not that The Fugitive is actually a classic. It's a great film. The Fugitive is a better film, but Wrongfully Accused is genuinely really funny and it shouldn't be. But somebody like Leslie Nielsen can carry those sort of characters. Yeah. Frasier couldn't, and that's fine. Hey, some actors do better at this.
I don't think it's his fault because as we'll see next week in Bedazzled, he is a good actor. He has lot of range. It's his acting is not what let him down in this film. It was having no material to work with and having a story that goes nowhere and has no consistency.
Okay. Well, speaking of next week, so you are doing Bedazzled next week.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it before the review, go watch it. It's on Amazon Prime. That's how I watched it. Mm-hmm. I had to pay for this one. I paid $5 to rent this one on YouTube.
Dudley Do-Right. Yeah, me too. I couldn't find it anywhere. Not even on Disney Plus.
Which I thought it would be.
Yeah. Apparently they don't own the Rocky and Bullwinkle series. Or
spin-offs. How will they manage?
Give it time.
Do you really have an empire if you don't own the Rocky and Bullwinkle franchise?
Find us on Instagram at Second Take Podcast. Or if you live in the future, you can tweet us at Second Take TNC. Find us on Facebook. Facebook.com/Second Take Media Review Podcast.
We're all out of sync when this is the two. You can tweet me at Bastion_James and tweet Jordan at JordanMSPP. yeah, chuck us an email at secondaypodcast@gmail.com. I can't stress this enough. Our schedule is in shambles. If you've got a suggestion, throw it our way.
I don't know why we have. We just decide on the previous show what the next movie is going
to
be.
Because if we're going to do like The Mummy, I want to do all of them just so we can talk about how the series develops.
Sure, we can do that.
We can do The Mummy. Do you want to do 10 Brendan Fraser films this year? Because we can add in that one that you wanted and 3 Mummy films. We can do that.
The one that I wanted, Airheads.
Airheads. That's
it's one of his, it's one of his top 5 films.
We can do Airheads and
I'm
then we
serious,
can do the Mummy
it's a
trilogy.
Top 5 Fraser
and
film.
I'm serious, Andrew. We can do 10 Brendan Fraser films this year.
I'm happy with that. That's great.
They're all really different. It's going to be when we get to the Mummy 3 that we're like, what is happening? But we can. Like, not, this is not an on-air threat. Like, we can do this. Yeah, so it's secondtakepodcast@gmail.com. We have a website. It's on there. I think, Patreon. Yeah, sure. Patreon/secondtake. I'm doing an Alex. I've forgotten our things. I haven't changed the outro from the George of the Jungle ones, so please enjoy Tarzan Boy on the way out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.